Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. One of the most beloved passages of Scripture, the story of the prodigal son. The word prodigal has two main meanings in English. First, it means to be recklessly wasteful, extravagant. The second meaning is profuse in giving, exceedingly abundant. The first meaning has a negative overtone, recklessly wasteful, extravagant. The second is one that is a blessed meaning, profuse in giving, abundantly, exceedingly abundant. The prodigal son characters are characters that we all know well, and we all have been one of those characters at some point in our lives. We've been the prodigal who has left, run away, taken the inheritance, lived a life that we're not very proud of, and wants to get back home. We've also been the elder son. We've been the over-responsible one, the one who has held the shop, taken care of the parents and children and family farm, have done more than our share while a sibling or someone we love has been recklessly living somewhere else. We've all had that experience in one way or another. And we also, at some point in our life, are called to be the father, that person who welcomes back, who says, please, we are glad to see you. I am just glad you're home. And to say to the elder son, I love you too. Let's celebrate together. I was with someone the other day who has been reading a book about the prodigal son, and that book had suggested that you call this parable, this story, the story of the prodigal God. A God that is profuse in giving and exceedingly abundant. This past weekend and past week has been a week of working on the city and being in ministry in the city and talking about that. And I think that the church in the city is called to be profuse in giving, exceedingly abundant, open with open arms to all who come through. Yesterday we had the leader of the coordinator of the Episcopal Urban Caucus, Nell Braxton Gibson, with us as our keynote speaker for Summit in the City, which is a diocesan gathering once a year about the city. And she said that the real key to urban ministry is sustainability, is the ability to keep working on problems that seem so great and so enormous that we need to be able to sustain that work over many, many years. It's easy to feel alone, it's easy to feel tired, it's easy to feel like the elder son, that we have done everything we could and still it's not enough. There were several things that happened this week that made me think about how we are that prodigal God for the city. The first happened Wednesday at the Ecumenical Lenten Lunch. I always look forward to that Lenten lunch, and the Lenten lunch involves parishes in West Baltimore, historically black parishes, Douglas Memorial, City Temple, Provident Baptist, Union Baptist, as well as Brown Memorial across the street. There are many more parishes involved as well, and each week we have a liturgist and a preacher. And afterwards, we invite whoever has come up to a wonderful lunch in the parish halls. It's been a tradition, as it was in my time in South Africa as well, that the clergy eat separate from the laity. And that seems to grate on some of us, but it has been a tradition always. And one of the things that has happened is that as I've been going to these over the years, now almost 10 years, the conversations have become deeper and deeper. The past two Wednesdays, I would say, they have become particularly deep. And who shows up every week is often Marcus Wood and Marion Bascom, both men that have served the church, the Baptist church, for well over 50 years in their pastorate. Marion Bascom is retired, and many of you know that he preached at Barney's farewell service here. Marion Bascom was very involved in the civil rights movement and was arrested in Baltimore and marched with Dr. King. He is an elder statesman of the African-American community and indeed the whole Baltimore and civil rights communities. And he is not particularly well, but he shows up every Wednesday and sits right back down here where Pam and Becky are sitting with his tie, impeccable, and he is always looking at his watch to make sure we're on time. Because some of the preachers tend to go on. But the last 2 weeks, we talked about the civil rights movement, and he particularly talked about the time that he was arrested in Baltimore. And I believe they had been down at the Heck Company, and they had been protesting at the Heck Company for equal rights, for civil rights. And he said they were arrested, and they were put in jail, and all of them were in jail. And he said while they were in jail, they sustained that time in jail by singing hymns, keeping their jail cells impeccable. And at some point, the jailer and the attorneys and all the mayor were all saying, well, we should let these folks out. You need to be fingerprinted before you're let out. And they decided they were going to refuse to be fingerprinted. And so they refused, and finally, I believe it was the head of the police finally said, oh, let them out anyway. They've been such good prisoners. Let them out anyway. I'm done with them. But he told about how they sustained that struggle by being together, by serving God, being faithful, being exceedingly giving and abundant of themselves in a difficult time. This past Saturday, as part of the Summit on the City, we did 3 site visits. We went to East Baltimore, the Church of the Resurrection, which is also housing the Latino ministry of the Episcopal Church. We went to Pimlico, where Holy Nativity and the area churches have begun a children's center that serves that impoverished neighborhood. And we talked about the idea of starting an Episcopal Service Corps, a group of young adults that serve the city for a year, much like Lutheran volunteers and the Jesuit Volunteer Corps. One of the things that they did in East Baltimore is they actually went into people's houses, and they had interpreters there that spoke Spanish and English, and the folks that visited there met with individual people who were immigrants, who often had people in their family that could not get to America, children and even spouses that could not cross the border. And they were here and being dedicated to the Episcopal Church, and the Episcopal Church seeks to sustain them as they wait through this struggle. The Episcopal Church should be open and profuse in giving, prodigal, exceedingly abundant, for those in the struggle for rights, for the basic necessities, for their humanity. Reinhold Niebuhr, who's one of my favorite theologians, said that this idea of a prodigal God, of this God that loves and welcomes, and as we move to Holy Week, is a God of suffering love, suffering and sacrificial love. And he said this about the love of a Christian community. Only a tragic and suffering love can be an adequate symbol of what we believe to be at the heart of reality itself. To believe in a God of love without understanding that aspect of his love, which the cross reveals, is to sink into sentimentality or romanticism. Life is too brutal, and the cosmic facts are too indifferent to our moral ventures to make faith in any but a suffering God tenable. There are those that said at the time of the Holocaust that God turned God's face from the Jewish people. But theologian and great man Elie Wiesel said, God suffered right alongside, in great compassion, in great love, in abundant, abundant giving love. I believe that churches in the city, like Memorial Church, those of us that love the city, are called to be prodigal. And prodigal in that way that we are profuse in giving, exceedingly abundant in love. Where are you as we approach the cross? that symbol of suffering love. Where are you as we approach Holy Week and Easter? Are you the prodigal son needing to be welcomed home? Are you the elder brother feeling like you've been held, that you're holding the heavy burden for all? Or are you this Holy Week, the prodigal father, the prodigal God? Are you able to open your arms and receive and celebrate? Amen. Thank you.